You're listening to Dig It. I'm Kat Cullen. I'm a radio host and complete gardening novice with an ever-growing collection of pot plants.
I'm Hester McDonald, garden designer and owner of the Swiss Gardening School. Dig It is a World Radio Switzerland production and airs live as part of the WRS Breakfast Show, broadcasting from our studio in Geneva, Switzerland.
On with the show.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
It's time for Dig It. Yes, we've got Hester McDonald in the studio. We are talking this morning all about things citrus, and we're going to have a wonderful prize to give away from Schilliger Garden Centre as well, telling you all about that coming up. So, Hester, welcome. Welcome back to the studio.
Thank you.
Now, last month we talked about orchids. We're going to get to questions that we didn't have time to get to at the end of that show as well. This month we're talking all about citrus. So why are we looking at these very different plant groups right now?
It's a very good question. So the reason is these are two of the plant groups that we get the most questions about. I think if we discount the is it dead question, which seems
yet
to cover
is it dead yet?
Is it dead yet? Question, which covers all sorts of different plants. We get a lot of questions about orchids, and we get a lot of questions about citrus. And it's a good time to understand how to make one of them happy.
Right, yeah.
And there are a lot of them in the shops right now. They're widely available. So citrus as a group, I think you can say that they've mostly got segmented fruit.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got a really great Latin name. The segmented fruit is called a Hesperidium. Isn't that fun to say?
Not a Hesperidium.
No, that would be way better. That would be way better.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's called a Hesperidium. I think it's quite fun. Dark green, evergreen leaves, usually quite glossy, and white flowers, very scented white flowers, are really lovely. And it includes things like oranges, limes, lemons, grapefruits. And also, depending on which plant family you put it, apparently this is a little bit controversial, kumquats.
I love that you found the controversial
news
about citrus.
How awesome is this? There's a big taxonomic, as in who goes where and which plant family, argument going on about it.
Okay.
All right. I know, exactly.
Now, it's not a, let's say, native plant.
No, that would be fair to say. So they're from Southeast Asia originally. They're one of the oldest plants to be domesticated for human consumption. And they're probably the most planted group worldwide too. They really are very not native to Switzerland. It's not like the orchids where, oh yes, actually there are one or two that grow natives. No, not at all.
All right, no. So how are we doing when we bring a citrus plant to Chile, Switzerland? Is that going to go well for me trying to grow something simply and easily?
So I'd say they're popular because they produce flowers in spring and sometimes in early summer, and they smell amazing. They often produce fruit, and they're quite fun to know that your plant produced the fruit that you're going to eat. So the tricky thing is to get the growing conditions right. Growing a plant that's native to Southeast Asia in chilly, wet, damp Switzerland, tricky. So I'd say the majority that are on offer in garden centres are not what are known as frost hardy. So if you expose them to frost, so when it freezes overnight, they will certainly get damaged and they might die.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's an issue. Mm. However, there are varieties that can go down to minus temperatures. If you want one of those, get it from a reliable specialist, not one that just says citrus. It's actually a named variety.
Okay.
And make sure to cite them out the wind by a warm wall and ideally facing southwest in slightly acidic soil. So really today we're talking about citrus in pots, because that's what most people are going to encounter in a garden centre. And we talked a lot previously about the advantages of growing in pots and the disadvantages. So for lots of things, not just for citrus. And so obviously the advantages are that you can control the soil, you can control the situation, like where the pot is, and the size of the plant can also be determined by this. The disadvantages are that it needs watering because its roots can't get into the ground. The pot can heat up very quickly, which can really stress the plant very fast. They can be knocked or blown over by accident. And if it's going to be indoors for any length of time, they can be attacked by insects much more than they would be were they to be outside.
Okay. Now give me the plant that I should pick as a beginner to this, my base level, entry level plant. What should I choose?
Well, it's a good question. I would say a lot of people start with lemons. So Meyer lemons or Meyer's lemon, which is probably a cross between a lemon and a mandarin. They're sweeter than regular lemons with a really nice floral fragrance. Not only the flower smell, the fruit itself.
The fruit
smells.
Itself.
Yeah, and a much, much thinner skin. Alpa Gurmi, which is a specialist in Ticinos, suggested mandarins, navel oranges, or the pomelo, which is called Enzo, as being great for beginners. And Nils Rodin is another specialist, but in the Canton of Vaud, suggests kumquats, lime quats, yeah. Calamansi oranges, which smell really, really good. And if you like Thai cooking, Thai limes, which also known as kombawa and kombava, because they have really nice fragrant leaves that you use in cooking.
And so these are all plants that you could put in a terracotta pot.
So terracotta is traditional, because it looks really nice.
Sure.
However, it does weigh a ton.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, the reason it's given for traditionally growing citrus, A, you know, it's a Mediterranean plant and it's grown in a Mediterranean pot. It's a nice mixture. It looks really good together. So the disadvantage of terracotta, not only does it weigh a ton, but they also dry out at the sides. So if you've got a watering issue, then that might not be the best choice. I would say, yes, terracotta is lovely, but if you're going to need to move this plant indoors or to a dry, frost-free, light space, which is you are going to have to do...
Choose another pot.
Yeah, really. Think about how you're going to move it. You know you can also cheat and put a plastic pot inside a terracotta pot. Lift the plastic pot out.
That's good. Yeah, OK. Top tips. Top
sneaky,
tips
sneaky.
And that would be cheaper too. And talking price as well, some of these citrus fruits really do vary a lot. When we're looking at the plant price,
yeah,
there's a huge variety out there.
Absolutely. So I would say if you're looking for a good plant, I'd say look for healthy, glossy leaves, no damage to the stem and well-balanced attractive plants. Ideally, choose one with flowers on it, or maybe even fruit on it when you buy it. So this is two reasons. Firstly, you know you're going to get the plant that you want. They do look quite similar.
Okay.
So if you want a lime quat, make sure you're getting a lime quat, for example. And the other reason is citrus can be grown from seed. You know, you get, and when mummy plant and her daddy plant love each other very much and they make a baby with seeds in it and you plant the seed. So you can grow them from seed or they can be grafted. And a graft is where you take a stem from one plant and stick it into the base of another plant, basically. And grafted stock produce better plants, better fruit, and they can guarantee that the fruit will then be the same as the parent plant. Whereas if you're growing it from a seed, who knows where the pollen came? It can
who
be really fun
getting
to grow it, but it's not guaranteed. And it takes ages, it can take up to 10 years for them to actually start to fruit. So you really want to make sure that you're getting something that's been grafted and it's come from a reputable garden centre.
I also just find that anything that's already fairly established is just a bit hardier.
Yes. 100%.
It's just going to be sturdier for me. And so,
and
therefore,
it's going to do better for you. And also, somebody who knows what they're doing has been looking after it
for five years.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we will continue to talk about citrus throughout the morning. If anyone's got any questions, please feel free to send them in 022 575 3010 on the WhatsApp. And we'll tell you a little bit about that competition that we've got for a citrus plant courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland as well. That's all coming up for you. Hester, stay with us.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Talking about citrus trees, we've got a very lovely citrus tree to give away from Shilliger Garden Centre. Hester, what do we have?
It's a finger lime. Now, if you've never come across these before, they have longish, well, finger-shaped fruit, very fragrant, and the taste is kind of between a grapefruit and a lemon tree, and they have this really beautiful flesh that has, like, pearls of little blobs inside it. They're delicious. I've tried the lemon version and I'm very sad I can't win this one.
You can't,
no.
Sorry. How
no.
big is this as a plant, roughly? I mean, are we talking it's a massive plant that you're going to want to plant in your garden?
These particular ones don't get to more than about a metre 20. They're little. Okay. They're compact plants, so they're perfect in a pot just as well, because you've got to bring them indoors in the winter. Now, we talked about them not surviving outside in the winter. Ideally, you want a dry, frost-free, light place. So a garage, a porch, anything like that. What they do not like is being in a centrally heated position, and particularly they really hate being on the floor.
So they do need to winter. They do need to get a little bit cold.
Be told that it's winter. They do, yeah. And they really, really, really don't like centrally heated houses. So that can be quite challenging. Now, there is a solution. You can ask a garden centre like Schilliger or one of the specialists to take yours for the winter, particularly if it's really big, which is what we do at the Chateau de Pongin. We have these beautiful citrus trees that are outside on the terrace in the summer. And in fact, Schilliger come and take them away, and they hiverner, they overwinter them for us. So they keep them watered, they keep an eye on them for pests, and they bring them back.
So if you have
if you're really stuck, that might be a solution for you.
That's amazing. Okay, so we're giving this away anyway, this micro citrus finger lime. Oh, I'm going to ask you here today, citrus is just delicious. So what do you mix citrus with in terms of food? So I'm thinking citrus to me in terms of food or drink. I'm thinking mojito.
Ooh, lemon meringue pie.
Lemon meringue pie. Okay. So citrus in food, what are you thinking? All you need to do is tell us that and send it in on the WhatsApp 022-575-3010. You can also email studio@worldradio.ch. You can text, you can find all of these different ways through the app at the little speech bubble at the top. Hester, I got a question from Erica, who sent in a picture as well. Erica says, my lemon tree has branches growing upwards. Should I trim them in spring? I've also had three lemons from this plant, which were lovely. She sent a photo. Should she trim the plant?
You can absolutely trim your plant, and it's probably a good idea because I can see the size of the pot, and if it gets much taller, it's going to start toppling over. So rebalance it so it's a better shaped plant, and any little teeny tiny side branches that are dead, damaged, crossing. It's a great time to get in there. You can see what you're doing. Little bit of snipping with a pair of Felcos. Job done.
Job done. We get a lot of questions about citrus plants. What are the most common problems?
Dropping leaves is the one we get a lot. Mm. Why is my citrus dropping its leaves? And this can be a sign of stress. Well, in any plant, actually. Any plant that's dropping its leaves is not a happy plant.
Yep.
Not just citrus. So this can be from too much heat, too much cold. Mm. That's another one.
Oh, good.
Incorrect watering.
Too much, too little.
Too much, too little. Lack of humidity, which sound totally contradictory, but actually they're quite easy to fix. So generally, I don't think you see leaf drop very often in summer when the plant's outside. It's much more common to see it indoors in winter. So I would start with looking at the temperature and assume it's probably too hot, particularly if you've got underfloor heating. They really hate it.
Ooh,
and lots of people have underfloor heating here. And also, if you live in an apartment where the heating is controlled centrally, it's quite hard to change the temperature in one room, for example. Try and get the pot off the floor onto a bench or a table, or even an upturned pot underneath it can really help. I would also check for drafts that can cause leaf drop. And quite quickly too. All it takes is, you know, the front door left open and it's freezing cold outside and it gets a big gust of air and the plant then goes, oh, I don't like it very much, and drops all its leaves. Incorrect watering is more uneven watering, and they don't like that very much.
Uh-oh.
They like to be watered on a fairly regular schedule. I would say this is true for all of your plants. Set a day when you go and have a look at them. Stick your finger right into the soil and have a look. Now, if your finger comes out a bit dirty, it probably doesn't need watering. It's probably fine. If your finger comes out completely clean, have a look at the plant. Is it saying, I'm a bit floppy and I'm not very happy? Then you probably need to water it.
Mm.
Or it might be something you do on the 1st and the 15th of every month, and that's when you do it.
I can't meet you on Monday. I'm terribly sorry. I'm watering my plants.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking to that.
And that's it. And it's a really easy way to remember to do it, because then it's always then, because it's a non-negotiable. You just do it then.
It's my Monday morning routine. We get a lot of questions about yellowing leaves.
Yeah, absolutely. And this can be due to a few different things. And the first thing to do is look underneath the leaves. So red spider mites are like little teeny tiny acarians. They love citrus. They love it. Among other things. And a little outbreak can become an absolute infestation if you don't deal with it promptly. And the thing is, because they're under the leaves, you cannot see them until the plant is really saying, I'm very, very, very unhappy and I've got yellow leaves and I'm not happy thing. So you've got red spider mites. There's fine webbing, cast off skins, maybe sometimes even eggs. And if you use a lens or the zoom on your phone, you might be able to see the mites as well. So I'd say quickly isolate the affected plant. Get it away from the other ones because you don't want them to spread, and they absolutely can. Check any other plants for signs of mites. The easiest way to get rid of them is to increase the humidity, as they prefer hot, dry conditions, and spray with a plant oil spray or something like that. Get yourself to your local garden centre with a photograph and show them that's what you've got, and they'll be able to say this spray will sort it out. There are predatory mites that can be bought, but the temperature band that they work in effectively is quite narrow, and if it's at home, it's probably not worth doing it.
Okay, any other problems?
It could be a nutritional lack, could be short or something. Have a look if the leaves are yellow all over, or if it's the youngest or oldest leaves that are affected. If the leaves are yellow between the veins, and it's quite distinctive if you get this, it's a shortage of iron or maybe magnesium. If it's the youngest leaves, it's definitely iron, and if it's the older ones, it's magnesium. And a nitrogen deficiency causes a general yellowing all over. Sometimes it'll get a bit red, but it's quite unusual in citrus. In any case, a general feed will help, and if it doesn't help within 2 weeks, take a leaf to your garden centre and go to their troubleshooting desk and say, I don't know what's wrong with my plant. Help.
They are also, there's still mite fall prey to the typical mealybugs, the insects, the aphids.
Oh, they love citrus. I'm sure they're just delicious. So I would say the way you know you've got them is there'll be a sticky substance on the upper side of the leaves, which then sometimes turns black, which is pretty disgusting. That is honeydew, otherwise known as mealybug, scale insect, whatever, poop. And it's very sugary. It's lovely. And it's what makes the mold grow. And it's sometimes why you see ants on them licking the bugs, because they want them to excrete the honeydew, because it's packed with sugar. It's really good for ants, but it's a little bit disgusting because of what it actually is. Yeah, so you can wash the leaves, that would really help. Have a look on the underside, and now if they're outside, ladybirds are your new best friend, because ladybirds are huge predators, this kind of thing. If it's still the winter and they're indoors, wash them off and find a treatment that will treat the bugs.
All right.
And it's pretty efficient, but you've got to be quite quick.
Now, these are all the problems that can come to you and your citrus plants. But despite all this, we still love growing them. So we'll be finding out why and some of the positives about growing these different plants, these lovely citrus plants. Keep your answers coming in. Tell me about the foods that you think of when you think of citrus. We'll get to your questions, some more of your questions coming up. This is Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan Les Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Talking this morning about citrus plants and asking you if you would like to win a citrus plant, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre, about the foods that you think of when you think of citrus. We got Sue, who said, I love making lemon curd and I seem to have more friends when I say I'm going to make it.
Can I be your friend,
Me
please?
Included. Yeah. We also, funnily enough, have Isabel, who said, a nice homemade lemon curd, useful to fill ready-made pastry or spread on a sweet bread. So lemon curd, very popular. Keep them coming in though. Tell us what you think of when you think of citrus. It makes me realize that I might be a little bit cheeky because I think of mojitos and lime.
They are really good.
So keep them coming in and tell us. You'll go into the draw to win this little finger lime micro citrus, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan. Hester, if we have a plant, I liked your tip earlier about maybe buying one with fruit on it already. But if not, how long before we can actually expect to see fruit on a plant?
So 10 years, 10 years, they're growing from a seed, but far less from a grafted parent plant. So 3 years. And by the time you're buying it in a garden centre, it's probably already 3 years old. They don't sell babies because they're tiny. And nobody's going to pay any money for something that A, might die, or B, isn't going to produce any fruit. So growers tend to remove the fruitlets for the first 2 years to allow the plant to kind of put all its energies into growing nice branches and looking good. So what you might not know is that the fruit can then stay on the plant for months until they're ripe. So just because you've got one and a fruit on your plant doesn't mean it's necessarily ready to eat. So oranges can take 6 to 8 months from pollination, and lemons and limes, very similar amounts of time. Grapefruit can take up to a year.
The patience that that's going to require to
look
at it.
They do look very pretty. So I think if you treat it as just one of the ornamental assets, and often the fruits smell really good too, then that's okay.
Imagine if you miss the window, though. You just let it grow on there for 8 to 9 months.
And then it went mushy and fell off. You'd be so disappointed.
I would be.
The way to make sure that doesn't happen is to give it a squeeze. Give it a squeeze.
As part of your Monday
That
checks.
Should be your Monday squeeze. Yeah, absolutely. Fruit should feel firm but not rock hard, with some give and some. They smell good. And then when you cut them open, there should be plenty of juice in them.
Okay. So that's how we know that we're going to eat a good citrus. But if I would like to peruse the options...
Ooh. Besides a good garden centre.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first stop, Shilliger.
Shilliger. Then I'd say next stop, I'd go to Eisenhut here in San Lazzaro in Ticino. It's a citrus paradise, as well as having the most enormous collection of magnolias, peonies, dogwoods, wisteria and more. It's a great day out, so I wouldn't go all the way from here to there and back again. But if you're down there, it's fab. And it's a botanical garden as well, and laid out by the current owner's dad, maybe 40 years ago. It's incredible. The views are amazing. Reto, the current owner, also comes to lots of plant fairs, including ones here, and very frequently comes to the one at the Arboretum in Aubonne in spring. There, spring
to show, fair. To show plants.
To show and to sell.
Okay.
So if there's something you want him to bring you, and you've looked at the catalogue and thought, oh, I'd really like one of those. Oh, he can bring it up for you.
The climate in Ticino is...
Bit different from here.
It's slightly different, yeah.
Yes, but he's well aware of that. And he's very good at advising and saying, oh, actually, I wouldn't grow that. I'd don't grow that, grow this, which is great. So I'd look at www.eisenhut, E-I-S-E-N-H-U-T, hut.ch. There's another specialist in Ticino called Alpagrumi, and I usually have this enormous collection of fully hardy citrus with the recommendations that they're against the southwest wall. They get morning sun, it's fairly well-drained, all that kind of stuff. And they've got oranges that are resistant down to minus 12 and a really unusual Japanese fruit called a yuzu down to minus 16. Their website has a very good map of Switzerland to work out what the possible coldest temperatures are for your area, and then has a link to suggest plants for your area, which is very good. And they planted about 250 trees about 2 years ago. Southwest orientation on terraces that have previously been used for vines, so well oriented and well drained. No special treatments apart from neem oil for pests and lots of organic fertiliser like nettle tea and chicken poo. And they had 150 kilos of fruit, which is absolutely amazing. It really is like a lot. So you can find them at alpiagrumi.ch. And then the last one is I would have a look at Niels Rodin, who's near Nyon. He can arrange visits to the greenhouse. You have to say, if you go when they're in flat, it's unbelievable. It's really fantastic. As well as tastings, workshops, advice on what to buy. And he has an online shop. And that's www.niels, N-I-E-L-S-R-O-D-I-N, Niels Rodin. .ch.
Excellent. It's amazing you mentioned yuzu there, because also we got a message in from Howard about some of the food and drink. And Howard says, citrus is great to make homemade limoncello, and yuzu is great for this to use in desserts or just to drink as an apero. Really useful. I had to fight off scale beetles from my lemon, and it nearly died after powerful treatment, but now has 3 lemons.
Woo!
What a success story. Thank you so much, Howard. You're also in the draw for our prize from Shilliger Garden Centre. We'll be back with some more of your questions. This is Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger. Let your inspiration grow.
Thank you very much, Shilliger. We're giving away today a micro citrus. Hester, what is this little plant?
It's called a finger lime, and they are delicious.
Excellent. And if you want to win that, all you need to do is tell us what you think of in terms of food or drink when it comes to citrus. What is your best use of citrus fruits when it comes to food and drink? We've got Cheryl on the WhatsApp who says, lemon chicken, my favourite use of lemons.
Oh, yum.
Also, though, she's got a question. So, Hester, are you ready?
Yeah.
Cheryl says, I have a 20-year-old lemon tree, which lives in a glass terrace in winter when it gets too cold. It's survived the neglect of house sitters blowing down a hill in strong winds. This year, it grew a branch from the rootstock, which threatened to kill the tree. Only when it produced bright orange fruit did I know what was happening. I removed the branch and treated the cut, which was quite large. Can you address this problem? Before you address Cheryl's problems, can you explain to me what's happening there?
So we talked about growing plant either from seeds, from pips,
yep.
Or they're grafted. So a top section is stuck into the roots from another plant.
So in Cheryl's case, that was an old orange tree that actually formed the
absolutely.
Rootstock.
Absolutely. And the rootstocks, they're used in lots of fruit tree growing, and you'll see them outside as well. Lots of fruit trees are grafted. And so it allows you to control the ultimate height of the tree, often disease resistance, how good they are at resisting drought, all sorts of things. Very useful things, but you still get the fruit from the top section, which is the bit you want.
Which is the lemon tree.
Which
that
is
Cheryl
a lemon
has.
Tree. It's pretty clever. So what can happen is that the rootstock sometimes grows a branch from below the graft.
After 20 years.
It can happen. Sometimes it got bumped. Sometimes it can be damaged that makes it produce it. Sometimes soil level in the pot. There's all sorts of reasons that it can do it. And what happens is you don't know sometimes because the branch looks exactly the same as the top section. It's only when it's way more vigorous than the top section you think, this is not what I was expecting. Or in Cheryl's case, it grows an orange. And she a million, trillion, squillion percent did the right thing.
Oh, okay. So
and just snip it off.
Snipped it off. So she said, this year it grew a branch from the rootstock, which threatened to kill the tree. Only when it produced bright red orange. I removed the branch and treated the cut.
Yep. She did the absolutely
which was quite
the right
large.
Thing. Yeah, absolutely the right thing. I'd say just check that the soil level in the pot, where it is, check that there's no other kind of bumps around the graft point. There's not a lot you can do. I mean, keep an eye on it. And if another branch grows, snip that off as well.
That's
keep it.
It
under control. That's it.
Why do you want to snip it? Why don't you think, well, hey, this is amazing. I've got a dual plant in one.
So I have seen this on cherry blossoms and the effect is quite pretty. So there's the top section, which has got pink frothy blossom and the white section underneath from the graft. It looks quite pretty. The downside is that often the section that's at the bottom, the rootstock, is hugely vigorous and will very quickly take over your nice top section.
Okay.
And it's not what you bought.
That's why it threatens to kill the plant. That's why it's a danger.
Yeah.
I see. All right, next question. I hope that one helps, Cheryl. Let us know. We've got Mehdi who says, I'd like to know if it's possible to grow different citrus together. Actually, this is very similar.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'd say it's possible to grow them, I'd say, in close proximity. I wouldn't put more than one in one pot because they tend to be quite vigorous plants and they don't love being squished together. You might be able to find a family tree. You can get them for apples, you can get them for apricots. I have seen them for citrus. I don't know how successful they are. Where you have a rootstock and you have more than one variety grafted in at the top.
Huh. That's, don't you want like sort of there's male female flower plants, don't you? Would you not want that?
No, then it's not applicable to citrus because the flowers have both male and female parts in them. So there are different sorts of plants. So you can either have like hollies, for example, there are male and female plants.
Yep.
And in order to get fruit, you need to have one of each. Well, the berries, you need one of each. Lots of other plants, the male and female parts are in the same flower.
Okay, so I don't need that for a citrus. Great
not
to know.
Not particularly, no.
There we go, just my own curiosity.
Yeah.
We've got Pamela who says that her husband has a kumquat in a pot that he's had for 3 years. It's never had fruit.
Oh, no.
Pamela says, what's going on?
So what you didn't say, Pamela, is whether it's ever had flowers or how old it is. We were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Oh, yeah, he's had it for 3 years.
Yeah. Which you might not know, obviously. So I've said if it's never, ever had flowers, it might be too young and you need to wait.
Right.
If it's an older plant and it's not had flowers, try stopping pruning it and see what happens. It might be that you're pruning it exactly the wrong time of year and you're snipping off the flowers accidentally. If it's had flowers but no fruit, then I'd say the problem is likely to either be pollination or fruit set under attention. So most kumquats are self-fertile, but they do set fruit better if there's another plant around and that bees or other pollinators have access to. So if it's flowering and there's no insects that can get to it because maybe it's indoors, then you're going to have to help it along with a paintbrush. By which I mean you use a very small paintbrush and you take the pollen, so you literally dip it in the flower and then paint that pollen onto as many other flowers as possible, which will really help it along. It's not particularly complicated. I know breeders that use their fingers, which is just as useful, to be honest.
Just got to know what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And the pollen is quite evident. It's quite yellow. And I would say you can help your plant keep the fruit. So it's making little fruitlets, but just dropping them. Regular watering, back to our regular watering. And weekly feeding, I'd say, once it's started flowering. And make sure it's getting enough sunshine. That can also make a difference. 6 hours a day is ideal.
Good tip. Okay, yeah. Last question that we've got time for today. George wrote, we have a Calamondin orange, which produces lots of lovely looking fruit. In actual fact, last time that we did a show on citrus, it was over a year ago, we gave away a Calamondin orange. I don't know if it was to George, maybe it's this one. They don't taste very nice, these ones. What are we doing wrong? Can you suggest something else that we could grow that tastes nice straight from the tree?
Well, you're not doing anything wrong. Honestly, George, really, Calamondin oranges aren't very nice eaten raw. That's why they tend to be cooked. They're used instead of a lemon or in recipes where there's lots of sugar, like jam or marmalade or something like that. If you want to have something that you can eat straight, go for a Meyer lemon. They're really delicious and they are a bit easier, the Calamondin oranges. So if you're getting oranges off your Calamondin, then you're doing everything right. So get yourself a Meyer lemon and add that to your menagerie of citrus.
Top tips. And we know that they've got them in Shilliger as well. Keep your answers coming in for the next 10 minutes until 10 o'clock. We'll continue this competition. If you would like to win that little finger lime that we've got to give away, just tell us what you think of when you think of any kind of food that is citrus flavour, food or drinks. We've got Susie who said lime and lemonade with ice in summer. It feels from that today. Freddie just says orange juice. We've got Tim who's saying lemon meringue pie. Harry is all about a lime in the neck of my beer. Yeah,
that's fair enough.
Nice. But just keep them coming in. What food or drink do you think of? Thank you so much, Hester.
Thank you.
For talking all about citrus today. We'll have this up on our website a little bit later as well, worldradio.ch/digit.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan Le Watt. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Dig It was broadcast live from the World Radio Switzerland studio in Geneva, Switzerland. The competition is now closed. You can find out more about the show and Hester McDonald at worldradio.ch/digit. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them in through the worldradio.ch website.